Amen. How many of you have ever looked at that imagery about Jesus making the darkness tremble? I mean, sometimes we get so overwhelmed and so caught up in the circumstances of life that we forget to tell the circumstances about our God. We forget to tell the circumstances and the things that we are challenges in our lives. We forget to bring those to the Lord. Nothing is impossible for Him. There's nothing impossible for Him to overcome. What a song. What an amazing song to lead us into the text that we're talking about today. As we've been looking at in Daniel in the last couple of weeks, Daniel chapter 1, we really took out of it the kind of character that God expects from us. A kind of character that doesn't compromise. A character that stands firm and stands true. A character that, well, we have to come to situations and come to temptations. We have to make our minds up before we get there of how we're going to act and the faith that we're going to have in those circumstances. Last week we talked about wisdom, godly wisdom, the wisdom of a leader. We talked about what the wisdom only comes from God. And if we try to gain our wisdom from any other source other than God, any other source than God's word, well, wisdom can be pretty faulty. Appreciate Dr. Harrison and his preaching last week covering the pulpit. I appreciate those of you that have prayed for me when we were in New Orleans last week. We had a great time, and boy, I tell you, it was a busy time. I have never seen more Tigers fans in all of my life. For those of you who don't know, the national championship game was last Monday night in New Orleans. I could actually see the Superdome from where the seminary is. And so it was a great time. A lot of crazy people on the road with these Tigers. Now, it was the Clemson Tigers and the LSU Tigers. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, LSU won the game. That's good for them. But that was like a home game for them. Being in New Orleans and in Louisiana, it was absolute mayhem. It was crazy. But it was a good time, and I spent most of the time in the classroom or in the library. And so I didn't even see New Orleans this week. It was an amazing time, though. Thank you for your prayers. And now here we are today. We're talking, and we've talked about the character of a godly leader, character of those who follow God. We talked about godly wisdom. Today, I want to talk about something that all of us need to understand and own in our lives. And it's this subject called courage. Called courage. We're going to read a story today from Daniel chapter 3 that's very familiar. A lot of the kids that were on the stage here a little while ago, didn't they do a nice job? Wasn't that fun? That was a fun time. Yeah, you can, Miss Methuselah, she is a great song leader right there, Miss Methuselah. They could probably recite the story. They could probably tell you many of the things about the story that we're going to talk about with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the fiery furnace. Many of you have read that or have heard about that before. And we're going to spend time in Daniel chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And I'll meet you there in just a minute. What is courage? What is your understanding of courage? In the Bible, God specifically tells several people in the Bible to have courage. As we think about this topic of courage, what does it mean in the world that we live in today? You know, my first introduction to courage was from the Cowardly Lion, right, in the Wizard of Oz. How many of you remember seeing the Wizard of Oz? It's been a year or two since some of you have. But yeah, I used to look forward to that every year coming on the TV from black and white into color. I'll tell you how long ago it was. And so the 1939, the Wizard of Oz came out. And there was a depiction in this satire, in this film called The Cowardly Lion. And the Cowardly Lion, what did he need? What did he need? What was his greatest need? Courage. He wanted to be brave. He was a lion, and so being a lion, he was supposed to be king of the jungle, right? He was supposed to be the king of all animals, and yet here he was living his life as a cowardly lion. So he was going to join Dorothy on the trip to the Emerald City, to Oz, to find some courage. Well, as we watched the story unfold, we began to recognize the lion actually had courage. But it was only when he wasn't focusing on himself and his eyes weren't on his own insufficiency. But when danger came, he was the first one to jump out and to put himself between danger and the group that he was traveling with. We saw him exhibit bravery and courage all along the way. And sometimes that's how we are. When we're looking at our own lives, we're looking at our own insufficiencies, when opportunities come our way to exercise Christian courage, to exercise the courage that it takes to stand up and to be a witness for Jesus Christ, well, when we're looking at ourselves and our eyes are on ourselves, sometimes that courage is far from us. But there is times when that courage, when we're not looking at ourselves, when there's things that happen in life, if we're a parent or a grandparent and things are, our family's being challenged or there's things that are, we'll exhibit courage without a problem. This idea of courage, what does it mean to you? It has to do with fear. And it's a response to fear. This idea that fear overtakes and grips and overwhelms our lives. There's story after story in the Bible about fear. And about shrinking in the moment of fear rather than standing up in the moment of fear. Those that stood up in the moment, those that stood up for the Lord, exhibited courage. And those that didn't, well, they exhibited fear. And so courage is a response to fear. Courage is a confidence in spite of fear. It's a confidence that wells up in, not because of anything that we can do or anything that that I can do in and of myself, but Christian courage is a confidence of who I am in Jesus Christ. And if I'll keep my mind and my spirit right with God, then acting in courage, in Christian courage, isn't something that, well, it's not something that's going to overtake my life. It's something I'm going to be able to live with courage. So that when opportunities come my way to stand up for the cause of Christ, I will. And I'll walk across that threshold rather than shrinking in courage. We get pictures of courage in the world around us in different scenarios, in different ways. And I think of missionaries on the mission field exhibiting great courage going into a foreign land, going into a foreign society for the sake of the gospel, not knowing many times what's going to happen or the things that are going to happen. Some of you might have seen a movie called The End of the Spear. It was a movie written about five missionaries in the 50s that went to the Ecuadorian jungle, not knowing what was going to happen, but immediately they became martyrs for the cause of Christ. And it was that event. They didn't shrink from the opportunity that presented itself. They walked squarely and boldly for the cause of Christ into an opportunity they didn't have all the answers to, but exhibited great courage. And it was because of the event that happened there that a missionary movement that's reached all over the world came out of that. I think of soldiers today. Soldiers, I think of my own son, and it's hard for me not to well up with pride and when I talk about this, but I remember about 8 years ago, almost 8 years ago now, it's hard to believe, in a hotel in Jacksonville, it'd be the last night before he went into the military. And he had to be there, and we stayed there as well, but we couldn't be in the same room, so we had dinner, and he had to go to his room, and I got up early the next morning because they had to meet very early to ship out. And so we couldn't talk to him. That was over with. I'd already said goodbye to him, but I stood there overlooking the rail down at the soldiers that were gathered. They hadn't even been to boot camp yet, but each one of them, looking at an opportunity that lay before them, they did not have the answers to. They didn't know what was going to happen, where they were going to go, what lay before them. But they put their faith. My son did anyway, put his faith in God. He said, I'm going to walk instead. Man, one of the proudest moments of my life overlooking that rail. Watching my son take that step of courage and that step of faith. And I almost imagine, and this is, I almost imagine God looking over the banister of heaven. Over at his children. When they're presented opportunities that they don't know what's going to happen, but they're presented opportunities to step up for their faith. And to step up and stand up against those things that would come against their faith or come against God. And he's looking over the banisters, looking at how proud he is of his children when they take that step of courage. Daniel chapter 3 throws us into a story all about courage. All about courage. And as we think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we think about what they'd been through kind of leading up to now, we get introduced to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We get introduced to them in chapter 1. They were part of Daniel's friends. They were the four friends that said, no, I'm not going to compromise my faith. We're going to live to glorify God. So even if we just eat vegetables, I still love that verse, don't you, that they ate vegetables and fruit and got fat. They got fatter than the other. I can't get over that. And as they did, they became more healthy and more. And at the end of chapter 1, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they were 10 times better than all the others after a three-year period of time. And Nebuchadnezzar, the same king that we're going to talk about today, put them in charge, put them, elevated them in the administration of the government and in the activities of the day. And so we don't hear about them in chapter 2, but in chapter 3, some things have changed and some things have happened. Some years have gone by since chapter 1, since these teenagers stood up for their faith. Now they're men, and they're serving in this foreign land and foreign government, and they're serving to glorify God, but that puts them against some of the things that are going on in the culture and society today. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And so followers of God putting themselves out and leading out in society, sometimes in a society that's directly and diabolically opposed to the things of God, here they are leading. And we come across them again in this circumstance that it's amazing to me, and we need to understand this as we look at the story. There are probably many things that were happening in the day that they could have stood up and said, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right, I'm not going to do that. But when they stood up, and when it said that they stood up, is when they had to defend God. When it came across their faith and they were called to bow down and worship the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, they said, no, that's where we've drawn the line. And it was the cause of Christ, it was the cause of God that called them out and separated them from all the others around them. Think about this. Where were all the other Jews? Where were all the other people of God that had gotten and brought into captivity? Where were these people when all the music started playing and everybody was to bow down and worship the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had erected of himself? Where were they? The only three that were standing was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we are not going to bow down. Beginning in verse 1. Chapter 3. There's a couple, three principles that I want to really talk about, courageous courage today. And let me, I need to warn you. Because it happened to me, it's going to happen to you. The political culture and the world that we live in today is going to come up in your spirit as we read this. As we talk about courage to stand up for God, to stand against those that oppose God, you're going to start to think in ways that aren't of God. Don't allow that to happen. Understand what the story is about. The story is about our testimony with God and the things of God and representing Him in the world that we live in today. Not some political ideology. Not some opinion that you have, that I may have, that they may have. This is about our testimony with God. As we read, beginning in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. If you were somebody, anybody, you were going to be there. This was a party everybody had to be at. Verse 3, then the satraps, the prefects and governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed the law. And this was the law. To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, when the loudspeaker went off, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, I can't do a whiny voice, but you almost get to the point. This is kind of a whiny, nasally, high-pitched voice. Get that in your mind. O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, are to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning of the furnace of the blazing fire. And what's Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah, of course, that's right. That's the law. So verse 12. Well, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you, and they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. The principle here that we need to apply to our lives is courageous courage stands against those that oppose God. Courageous courage stands against those that oppose God. And so when you think about standing up against those that oppose God, what does that look like in your context? What does that look like in the life that you're living today? Because this story has everything to do with our story. With our story. Standing up against the opposition. Now, number one, I want you to understand we should expect opposition. We should expect it. We should recognize it for what it is. If you think about being opposed because of what we believe, it's not something that it should not take us by surprise. Are you listening, church? We should not be surprised when we represent Jesus Christ and the culture that we live in today that that's going to be met with some opposition. We should expect that. As a matter of fact, if we're not receiving it, we should inspect that. Because if we're not being opposed because of the name that we claim, Jesus Christ, in the world that we live in today, if you're not being opposed by somebody, then you're not standing up for anybody. So number one, we should expect it. We should recognize it. Recognize and know what this opposition is, and we should know who it is. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities and the powers of this earth, the powers of darkness. And so when we have somebody that opposes us, as Nebuchadnezzar was opposing God here, it's not just a man that we're looking at. It's not just a culture or society that we're looking at. This isn't who our battle is against. Our battle is against the spiritual enemy that is behind that attitude. Many of us will look at the enemy as having flesh and blood because they differ with our opinion. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that our enemy is, well, that's the devil. And everything that comes against God is of the devil. And so as we stand up and have courageous courage standing against those things that oppose God, we're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the enemy. And we have to recognize that. It changes things when we start to think that way. It changes things. Because something I've learned, not everyone who disagrees with me is my enemy. Did you write that down in the notes there? I want you to remember that. Not everyone who disagrees with me is my enemy. Not everybody who agrees with me is my friend. Or says they agree with me. As we stand up for Christ, as we stand up for the gospel, as we stand up, we're going to be opposed. Courageous courage stands against those that are opposed to God. You see, we go back to chapter 1. We have to decide beforehand how we're going to act in these situations. Is it going to be fight or flight? Is it going to be to represent, or is it going to be that we're going to try to be part of the woodwork? If I don't stand up, I won't make waves. Everything's going to be okay, and my life will be just okay. I don't think that's true. Because God has given us this day, this time, this society, the community that we live in, to stand up and to represent Christ. That's our responsibility. That's why we're here. To stand up and to be counted on for the cause of Christ. A predetermined answer. Not only do we decide beforehand how we're act, we need to decide beforehand our answer to the opposition. You write this down, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. 1 Peter 3, 14 and 15. This is something that since the beginning of the Christian faith, since the beginning, the apostles have taught this. Peter, talking to the early church, said, "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled." That means have courage. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence. Some of us really have memorized the first part of that verse. That we're ready to give a defense of Christ and we're ready to pow somebody whenever they come against us. That's not what the verse says. The verse doesn't end, just be ready to give a defense, but with all gentleness. Because we're representing Christ, we're not representing ourselves. When it's my concern to be right instead of righteous, I'm wrong. Because I'm not representing myself. I'm representing the Lord. So we should stand against opposition. Because in Jesus, we're more than overcomers. Jesus has already won the victory. And that's what allows us to stand with courage in a world that is opposed to Him. That we can stand with courage because Jesus has already won the victory. You can write this verse down, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. I'd love for you to go back and consider that passage later in your quiet time. The apostle writes, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." What victory? The victory over sin and death. The victory that Jesus won, now we have. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." As we stand up, as we look at the life that we're living, as we understand the challenges that we come against, our challenges are in different shapes and different forms. They look differently to each of us. As we walk through life, we'll have different opportunities to stand up for the Lord. Some of us will be in weakness, in disease, and in distress. Others will be out of a conversation or dialogue with somebody who doesn't agree with us. But we'll have the opportunity to stand up for the cause of Christ. We need to be ready and we need to be immovable in that opportunity. We need to prepare beforehand our answer, knowing how we're going to respond and act in these situations. I used to hate when I would see the Jehovah's Witnesses coming down the street. I would hate that. Right? I mean, so you lock and close the door, they'll close the curtains, they'll just walk by. We know that there are people, there are belief systems that are opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are more and more and more opportunities for us to engage in dialogue, to engage in conversation with people who don't know Him. Whether they're Jehovah's Witnesses coming down the street or our neighbor who just is going through a challenging situation, God has placed us where we are to stand up for Him. And when we do, when we stick our neck out a little bit, when we rise up above the fray, there are going to be opportunities that we're going to be opposed. But it's not we who are being opposed, it's Christ. But we need to be willing to stand. Courageous courage stands against those who oppose the Lord. So I ask you today, what's your attitude about standing up for the Lord? Is your attitude like many in the church today saying, well, somebody else will stand up? That's the preacher's job. That's what we hired him to do. Right? No. God has sent each one of us onto the mission field, and we live that every day. And we have the opportunity every day in the mission field that we're on to live for the Lord and understand and expect that that's probably going to cause some to oppose as we stand up. But it's not us that they're opposing. It's not you. It's not me. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And so we think about these things as we look at courageous courage and standing up against opposition. Courageous courage stands against those that oppose God. Isn't that exactly what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did? They stood up to the one that was opposing God. Let's continue reading, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, this is how the world responds. Ready? Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? You can almost imagine a deep breath. Thinking to himself how special these guys are and how much he's already invested in them. How much he trusts them. I mean, we don't see that in the text, but he gives them one more shot. One more chance. Verse 15, now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. Everything will be fine. But if you do not, if you don't worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the fire, midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? I laugh because I've read the end of the story. You have too, you know. But think about the situation as it's unfolding, about their faith, about what their response is going to be. I mean, all eyes are on this interaction. What is going to happen? Are they going to stand true? Or are they going to bow down and worship? And before the music even starts, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer concerning this matter, because if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But, even if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. The second principle as we take out for living today is courageous courage stands up to those opposed to God. Not only stands against, but stands up to those things opposed to God. Number one, out of this, make sure that what you're standing up for is God. Make sure that what you're standing up for is God. It's not your own opinion. It's not your own life. It's not your own way. Make sure that what you're standing up for is God. And as you stand up for God and you're exhibiting that kind of courage, there are promises in the Bible that you can rest assured are yours to claim. But as you stand up for your own opinion, you stand up for your own way, for your own mindset, for your own desires, those promises in the Bible do not apply to you. They apply to God and your relationship with Him. And so as we look at this and we understand what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are doing, they're standing up for God. They're standing up for their faith. They're sure in their faith. They're not going to bow down. They have made their minds up beforehand. They are not going to compromise, and they are not going to go against God. But they can't be quiet. Maybe they could have been at the back of the crowd, and they could have kind of crouched down instead of bowing down all the way. Maybe they could have gotten by with looking like they're going along with the program, but really in their hearts, they're not bowing down. And I'm sure there were some in the crowd that were doing that. Live to fight another day, so to speak. But these three, standing up for their faith, exhibiting courage that was far beyond anybody else that was exhibiting, that was acting out for the Lord today, they stood up. They stood up for God. Not their own opinion, but for the Lord. They said, we're not going to do it. If God, even if God doesn't deliver us from this, I'm not going to, that's okay. Boy, do we see that kind of character in the world that we live in today? Not very often. Not very often. That kind of strength, that kind of fortitude, that kind of character that would say, even if it means the end of me, that's okay. Because I know my God has this. Is that the way you live your life? That's what we're called to. That type of courage is what we're called to. Courageous courage that stands up to the opposition. Here's one thing that you have to understand. Now just think about this idea. When you stand up, what happens? What happens when you stand up? Like if I were to ask Brother Roscoe over here to stand up, you can't see Roscoe right now, but if he were to stand up, you could see Brother Roscoe. Roscoe, stand up for just 1 second. Well, just stand up. So everybody can see Roscoe now, right? Put your glasses on. Everybody can see Roscoe now, right? Okay. Now Roscoe's going to sit down, okay? And Roscoe's hard to see when he's sitting down. The simple fact is when you stand up for your faith, you're going to be seen. You're going to be seen. That others will notice that you're standing up for those things of God. If nobody's seeing that you're standing up for those things of God, then perhaps you're seated, not standing. Perhaps you're not exhibiting any courage or any faith. Perhaps you're not being obedient to what God has called. Perhaps we're being a little too comfortable in the seats that we're in rather than standing up in faith to the mission that we're called to. God's core values it's not our comfort. It's not our convenience. God has called us to stand up. He's put us on mission to go out and to make disciples and then to teach those disciples everything that he's commanded. You can't do that from a seated position. So we're to stand up in our faith and be counted on. So not only does courageous faith stand against those things that oppose God, it stands up to those things that are opposed to God. And the third thing I want you to see is courageous faith stands through the consequences. Stands through the consequences. Let's keep reading. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You ever met somebody or seen somebody so mad that their face changes? What does that look like? Face gets all red, right? I mean, the guy probably had a blood pressure issue when talking to these guys because they weren't going to bow down. And so he got all red and got all heated up. His veins were popping from his neck. Fire that fire up. His facial expression changed. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. When we stand up for the Lord, the world doesn't like it. And it emotes a response from the world. We should expect that. We should understand that that's coming. But we should stand even through the consequences that that causes. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men, tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast in the midst of the fire, furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was so hot that if you got close, you got burned. Verse 23, but these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, tied up. You see, here's a lie of the enemy that sometimes we believe. A lie of the enemy that if we believe in Jesus, call on the name of Jesus, that that we won't have to stand up and we won't have to stand through consequences. That God's going to deliver us out of those consequences of standing up for him in this world. And that's not how the Bible works. That's not what the Bible tells us about those of us that are in faith. That, quite honestly, we can expect to go through the trial. We can expect persecution. We can expect opposition from the world if we do name the name of Christ. Jesus himself said, expect this. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Because the servant's not greater than the master, they're going to hate you too. And so we can expect, as we stand up, as we represent him, as we represent the name of Christ, that there's going to be opposition. That we can expect that God will be faithful through the circumstance. We understand that those circumstances, living opposed to the world, they're coming. And what the greatest lie of the enemy is to lay down our faith. Is to lay that down so that we can have, well, the pleasures of the world. We live in a country where, well, we enjoy a lot of privileges. We enjoy a lot of freedoms that a lot of good men and women have fought hard for, and some paid the ultimate price for. But can I tell you what the end of this book says? That before the end, there's coming a time where that's not going to mean a whole lot to the world that we live in. That the religious freedoms that we enjoy today, we can expect those to be challenged, and we can expect those to come under attack, and we can expect those to be taken away. That those of us who name the name of Christ, that there's coming a day, that there's going to be a cost to claim his name. We don't understand that in this country, but Christians around the world understand that cost. What cost are you willing to pay for Christ? I wish I could tell you in the next decade that we're not going to experience this here. I can't tell you that. I can tell you that the enemy is alive and well. And the enemy is working overtime, coming against Christ and coming against those that claim his name. And so this coming a point in time, very soon, that you're going to have to make a decision beforehand who you're going to stand up for, who you're going to stand with. In a small way, that may be today. Today, you may be given an opportunity to stand up for God, to stand up for his teachings. Today, in conversation. Today, across the table at lunch. Today, with a conversation with your neighbor. We may not experience the severe trial that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have gone through. But we can understand that these principles are alive for us today. And we can exhibit courage in our own lives and be sure that God is with us through those trials. God has promised us, as we live this life according to his word and according to his scripture, that he is with us. He will not forsake us. He will be with us wherever we go. Whether we're in the valley of the shadow of death or whether we're walking on the mountaintop, enjoying the freedoms that we enjoy, that God is with us. That is the one thing that we can be sure of as we live this life. As we walk this life, we can be sure that those who oppose God and they come against us, that he'll never leave us, forsake us. We're not fighting this battle on our own, in our own power. It's in the power that he has. He lives within us, and he fights through us for his causes. So we need to accept that standing against the world will have consequences. Standing against the world will have consequences. Recognize that everything here, everything in this life is temporary. That there's an eternal home waiting for us. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were telling the king. I don't know. We're not going to bow down. Whether he decides to save us or not, he's the Lord. But we're going to trust him. And so we trust him even in the consequences. Instead of us trying to get out from the consequences, let's trust him in the midst of the consequences. We'll leave the consequences to the Lord. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. So let's finish the text by reading, starting in verse 24. The ending of the story. Who's that that said that? The rest of the story? Anyway. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He saw that they were thrown in, and he looked in, and he stood up. He said to his officials, "Was it not three men that we cast into the midst of the fire?" And they replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men loosed, and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Woo! Look, what did that look like? Man, Nebuchadnezzar had to come up out of his seat on that one. What is going on? If you can't get rusty, get excited reading Scripture. Get excited about what the Lord does in the midst of these circumstances, because He's ready to act in the same way in your life as you stand up for Him. Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire, and he responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around them and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. What were they thinking? These are the guys that wanted them thrown in the fire. And here they are. They're having to... This fire had no circumstance on them. This was what they wanted. They wanted them to die, and now here they are living. Oh, my goodness. What was going through their mind? Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, what they did not want to hear, by the way. They didn't want to hear this, but this is what how Nebuchadnezzar responded. He said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb." Woo! "And their houses reduced to a rubbish heap." They went like this, right? Mercy sakes. "Inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. You know, sometimes we need to be quiet and let the Lord fight our battles. Sometimes we need to be quiet and let the Lord deal with our enemies instead of us opening our mouth and acting like an enemy. Sometimes we need to allow God to well up inside of us as we stand up to, and stand against those things that are opposed to God. Allow God to be seen through our testimony. Allow God to be seen through the way that we interact and act. Three things to take with you. Number one, expect opposition. Expect it. Expect the opposition. It's coming. It's coming, whether you like it or not. So welcome it. Be ready for it before it happens. Number two is be ready to stand and defend. Be ready before the opposition comes, to know how you're going to respond to those that come against God, to those that come against the things that are of God. Be ready and understand how you're going to act, not because of you or because of your opinion, but because of God and His testimony in your life. Number three, have courage in the Lord. That begins by trusting the Lord, by staying close to the Lord, by abiding in Him. And in times of trouble, just make a decision. Make the decision that you're going to stand. I'm going to invite the worship team up as they come up. I just want to ask you today. I want to ask you today to be aware of the opportunities that God is giving you to stand up, to be counted. Some of you in here, maybe you're new to the faith. Or maybe you're new and trying to understand what's going on, and you don't feel equipped. You don't feel that you can stand up for the Lord. You don't feel that with all the things that are going on in the society today that you can open your mouth. And trust me, this is not something that is foreign to any of us. But God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He calls us to stand up. He calls us to be counted on by Him. As we stand up in faith, as we stand up with courage in the world that we live in for the cause of Christ and for the gospel, God is the one on display. It's not by us. We don't have all the right answers. When I'm talking with people, there's many times that I don't have the answers. I tell them, let me go find out that answer for you. That's a good question. Let me research that and we'll get back together. But we're called together to stand up for Christ, not for ourselves. When somebody sees anybody but Christ in us, in our attitude, in our actions, in our responses, whether it be in person or on social media, if somebody sees anybody else other than Jesus Christ, we're doing it wrong. We have not been called up to stand for ourselves, to stand for any of my opinions. We're called to stand up for Christ. Christ and Christ alone. And we can have the confidence in the midst of this journey that we're on. It's a scary journey. It's when we know that there's opposition. We know that the enemy's coming at us. It'd be better if we just sat still and we wouldn't even come under the enemy's radar. But when we stand up and we live for Jesus, we can expect it. It's scary. But we know that we're not alone. We know that He's with us everywhere we go. He's proven that time and time again in our lives. He wants to use us today. Not to just come to church on Sunday morning and not think about it again until next Sunday. He wants to use us today, every day of the week, every hour of the day, to stand up and to reflect Him. But that takes courage. It takes courage. It takes passion. It takes a boldness. This song that we're going to sing, it's an amazing song. Amazing song. I want to end today in a very worshipful way. Today, I want us to respond in kind. God has called us to stand up for the cause of Christ. And we're going to stand up in a minute and we're going to sing this song together. But I don't just want you to stay where you're at. I want you to come forward. I want to fill this altar up as we stand together in courage, as we stand together praying that God would use us as the army of Christ. Singing this song today is an act of worship, but it's a confession that God is so good. His goodness never fails us. This is our testimony as we go forward. Today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants and desperately desires a relationship with you. He's proven it by paying your penalty for sin. All He's asking for is faith. For you to walk across that threshold of relationship with faith, believing that He paid the penalty of your sin. His arms are wide open. Grace and mercy to receive you today. I want to talk to you about how to get started in your journey of faith. Today, if you're ready to join the church and you want to make this your church home, we'll receive you as such today. Today, let's together, as one, a body of one, stand up and say, you know, I'm declaring today, I'm going to be courageous for the cause of Jesus Christ. Pastor Aaron.
Let's stand.